Welcome to MBA Podcaster, the only broadcast source for cutting-edge information and advice on the MBA application process. I'm Janet Nakano. Do you want to have a career in Asia's booming economy, or have you considered tapping into the European marketplace? Well, today couldn't be a better time to go abroad. Opportunity knocks in every corner of the world, and if you want to get a slice of the global pie, then getting an MBA in international management could be the way to go. Not only will you be exposed to a culturally broad curriculum, you'll make worldwide contacts. This time, we'll explore some international career opportunities and look into a couple U.S.-based MBA programs. We'll talk to a director of career services, an international MBA program director, a current student, and a global recruiter.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Veritas Prep, one of the world's leading GMAT test preparation and admissions consulting providers. Everything about the Veritas Prep GMAT course has been designed to enable students to confidently approach the exam with a deep understanding of the material, not with tricks or devices for merely surviving the GMAT. And Veritas Prep's thorough curriculum is just the beginning. Only people who have scored in the 99th percentile on an actual GMAT exam are even considered for an instructor position with the company, and every new instructor must complete over 100 hours of training before leading a class. Veritas Prep's MBA admissions consulting services feature head consultants who have formerly served as admissions officers, application readers, and interviewers at the world's top MBA programs. MBA Podcaster listeners receive a $150 discount on any Veritas Prep GMAT course, private tutoring, or admissions consulting school package by registering with the code POD150. Learn more at veritasprep.com.
To give you an idea of why someone would choose a global MBA program over others, let's meet Aiwei Niu. She's a second-year student at the Thunderbird School of International Management. She was born in Canada but grew up in Singapore and Malaysia. She studied abroad in Japan and Hong Kong. After graduating from university, Niu joined Procter & Gamble and worked as a brand manager for a couple of years.
At that point, they were going through some restructuring, and I decided it was time for me to leave the company. And I've always wanted to go to Asia, so I thought, you know, instead of waiting for the company to take me there with all the restructuring, I would leave and go. So I took off and traveled for a bit, and I ended up in Beijing, China, with a backpack, knowing that I wanted to stay, and just kind of started looking for a job. And it was just the way things sort of happened. I was very, very fortunate and landed with a great opportunity to work for a fashion company, and they really needed someone with marketing skills to help them build the marketing department.
While Niu clearly shows a path to a global career, not all students that go to Thunderbird have such extensive international work experience, says Beth Merchant, Director of Career Advising and Education.
But almost every single one has international experience, maybe with the Peace Corps or having lived abroad or maybe studying for a significant amount of time at an international university, doing international missions with a church. So almost every student has some significant international background.
Thunderbird offers an MBA degree in international management. Merchant says you'll learn all the typical business skills that other MBA programs provide.
The difference is that Thunderbird really emphasizes the application of those skills in a global or international environment. So our coursework takes finance, for example, and which is a kind of a very typical MBA business field, and talks about how that works internationally and applies it to different economies and different cultures. And the cultural and international market piece is a part of every single class.
Tony Palmer is Director of Language Programs, Marketing, and Recruiting at the Wharton School's Lauder Institute of Management and International Studies. Through the Lauder program, you'll earn a Wharton MBA and a Master's in International Studies. Palmer says it's a two-year program.
It starts in early May, and Wharton starts in early August, so it's about 3 months longer. And they'll spend a month on campus here, and then go for 2 months to a very intense immersion that we organize in each of the countries, specifically for our students, where they study the language very intensely, but also visit companies, go on cultural excursions, and attend lecture series and things like that.
Oftentimes, international degree programs have language requirements. Thunderbird requires students to achieve business proficiency in a foreign language by graduation. Though many students are already multilingual, its student body represents 49 different countries that speak some 57 languages. At the Lauder Institute, Palmer says they have 8 language tracks: Arabic, Chinese, French, German, Japanese, Portuguese, Russian, and Spanish.
You need to come with a relatively strong foundation in one of those 8 languages. There are a few exceptions, but generally we look to admit people at what we call advanced level, which is an official designation, and we graduate them at a superior. And if you know language study, superior is where you can negotiate in the language, where you can use a subjunctive if you're using romance language, things like that, have a relatively broad vocabulary, and can really go to the country and work full-time in the language. Clearly, today there's really almost no business that isn't impacted by things going on around the world, and I'm certainly not the first person to say that. And I think by studying other cultures, understanding how business is done in other regions, you gain a perspective to see how different things can be done and how you have to fit whatever you're doing into the whole world. At the moment, obviously, China is having a huge impact on business, from sucking up resources to being a place where things can be manufactured. And you can be in very local industries that are extremely impacted by what's going on in China.
Ai Weinu is considering going back to China. She says she has a job offer in Shanghai. China's fast pace and exponential growth is appealing, she says, and it's one country in need of MBAs.
You can't go one day without reading something about China in the news these days, and how the market is just growing so fast and so much is happening there that they really need a lot of talent to help them develop, so to speak. There's a lot of push with multinational companies to train and develop local talent within China. But what they're finding out, I think, in recent years is there's somewhat of a gap in middle management, where they're finding that, you know, they really need a little bit more sort of creative, innovative, breakthrough thinking. Most of the work being done in emerging markets is to reapply models from developed markets. Of course, you have to, you know, customize it for the emerging market, but someone who has experience in both and being able to bridge, really truly act as a bridge, not just language abilities, but really the understanding of cultures, the understanding of how to take advantage and arbitrage the opportunities between a developed market versus an emerging market. Those are the skills that they're looking for.
As New just said, understanding culture is an important part of doing business. So at Lauder, Palmer says they've incorporated lessons in culture into the program.
We look at objectively how culture impacts business decisions and the way people react. So it's a more studied approach to interactions and interhuman interactions and doing business globally. You might do a semester, some schools send you abroad and do a semester abroad, maybe to Japan or something, but you will study there, but you may not really focus on, for example, how to properly give gifts and when can you do that and what's a bribe and what's considered appropriate. You may learn by trial and error, but we really talk about those things in specific, and so people can know how to approach something like that, which in the U.S. culture is done very differently. I mean, basically every culture has its own approach to something like gift giving, and you can make some terrible mistakes if you don't consciously know what's going on.
International careers can vary widely. Palmer says many Lauder graduates go into investment banking, finance, and consulting.
Where a straight Wharton student might go to McKinsey in Boston or New York, our students will go to Brussels or to Hong Kong or something like that, more typically, but not necessarily. And then product companies, I would say, is probably the third largest career where people will go into global product management or start here and then go overseas or the other way around.
Johnson & Johnson recruits out of 56 universities around the world, including Thunderbird and Lauder. This year, they interviewed for some 280 positions in 42 countries. Neil Curry is Johnson & Johnson's manager of global university recruitment. He hires for positions in Latin American countries, including Argentina, Colombia, and Guatemala. Curry says he's currently looking for someone to work in Brazil as a customer manager to deal with major business partners like Walmart and large local chains.
We're looking for people who are able to deal with the complexities of business on a global basis. We're looking for people who have demonstrated leadership in their professional as well as their personal lives. And the criteria that we use for selection, there are actually 10 different characteristics that we look for. First and foremost, it's integrity and the ability to make ethical-based decisions. And that is someone who can build trust through their actions as well as their words. The next one I can think of is strategic thinking. And this particular position that I'm referring to really puts you in a position of playing the role of a strategic thinker for your partners as well as for all of the consumer products franchise leaders in the business. And it puts you in a position of being often on your distributors and on your major customers' side rather than on your product manager side. Which leads to the next characteristic, which is the ability to develop cooperative relationships with people inside and outside the company and to be a team player. There is, for this particular position, a very high level of need to have a sense of urgency, to act proactively and to respond to and to actually to try to predict problems and see opportunities. What we find with the MBAs who have studied outside of their home country is they can usually see opportunities where others in their local environment might not. It also requires a good degree of self-awareness and adaptability. Most of our positions in the economies outside of the U.S. require a great deal of adaptability and flexibility. The last one for all of Johnson & Johnson is to have a very strong results orientation and to be performance-driven.
Curry says Johnson & Johnson hires candidates that are authorized to work in the country where the job is located, and salaries aren't comparable to typical U.S. MBA salaries.
The salaries are driven by the local market. There is not an MBA salary in most of the markets outside of the U.S., so it really will depend upon the position that I'm recruiting for, the experience of the candidate, and the school will not play a big role in the base salary, but it will play a role in the incentives which we include in the offer, such as the joining incentive. The Japanese, for example, most of the opportunities that we have in Japan, if you convert the yen to U.S. dollars, salaries in Tokyo are generally better than the average salaries in the U.S. Now, the region that I work in, none of the countries have salaries which are converted into U.S. dollars compared to U.S. compensation on a gross comp level. But yeah. The basic philosophy of our employment is it's local jobs and local employment. It's not even fair to compare a salary in pesos to a salary in dollars.
Curry says they do hire career switchers and also consider those with little experience in the field.
The program that I manage is really not for filling specific jobs, although we have to start with a specific job. It's really not to fill that job. It's to fill what we call a leadership pipeline within the company. And some of our best talent is hired through the program. They are given, in many cases, they are given training outside of the hiring company for as much as a year.
Working in an emerging market like countries in Latin America and China will require different skills and will offer a different experience, says Ai Wei Niu.
What I found is in the emerging market, you know, things are moving at a really fast pace. It's really exciting. I realized after doing internships both in, you know, the U.S. and the Middle East, it just sort of, answered the question for me that I'm much more of an emerging market kind of person. So it really leverages all your skills. You're asked to be sort of a general manager as opposed to a specialist. Most of the roles in companies that have offices in emerging markets require the people there to take on several roles at one time, and things are moving fast. So, you know, your growth trajectory is really steep. But you also get a huge amount of responsibility compared to, say, working in the U.S. or Canada. And most people that I've talked to after they've graduated for a few years, and even my personal experience, I found that my career has accelerated probably, I would say, you know, twice, or even I've been able to shave off 2 to 3 years of my career and be able to progress quickly.
Visa issues will likely come up if you're looking to work abroad. While some international companies will sponsor your visa, other companies like Johnson & Johnson may require that you can legally work in a particular country before being hired. Niu says don't be turned off right away by work authorization requirements.
It's tough because, you know, we all have country affiliations. We all have our citizenships. And, you know, I think these days borders are starting to open, but it's also, you know, you can't underestimate the whole visa issue, working visa. You know, do you have work authorization here? Do you have work authorization there? And I think companies are just slowly coming around and looking at talent in general and finding a way to fit them into the organization, especially fluid talent that is looking at an international career and not necessarily fit in any specific geographical region. But one thing for students who have a varied background and may need sponsorship or may bump into work authorization or visa issues is, you know, persistence, and don't take no for an answer. If you're truly interested and if you're passionate about what you're doing, things will happen, and that has happened to me many times. So, you know, I can totally attest to that, and that's what I keep telling my classmates who run into issues like that.
If you'd like to get an MBA in global management, Lauder Institute's Tony Palmer says, start by gaining some international experiences.
I would strongly encourage them to learn language if they haven't started to start, to try and find a job that exposes them to international business. So not to work at the local, you know, in a local retail store or something like that, but try and find something that exposes them to dealing with people from other countries. Even if it's in English, that's a wonderful experience. And ideally find a way to get themselves overseas for at least 6 months to a year. I think there's nothing like living in another country and then looking back at the U.S. and how other cultures and other people perceive the U.S. to get a real understanding of the importance of that. If you grow up in the States and never leave, you do have a tendency to think that we're in the center of the universe. But if you get some time in another country, you realize that that's not really true.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Veritas Prep, one of the world's leading GMAT test preparation and admissions consulting providers. Everything about the Veritas Prep GMAT course has been designed to enable students to confidently approach the exam with a deep understanding of the material, not with tricks or devices for merely surviving the GMAT. And Veritas Prep's thorough curriculum is just the beginning. Only people who have scored in the 99th percentile on an actual GMAT exam are even considered for an instructor position with the company, and every new instructor must complete over 100 hours of training before leading a class. Veritas Prep's MBA admissions consulting services feature head consultants who have formerly served as admissions officers, application readers, and interviewers at the world's top MBA programs. MBA Podcaster listeners receive a $150 discount on any Veritas Prep GMAT course, private tutoring, or admissions consulting school package by registering with the code POD150. Learn more at veritasprep.com.
For more information, advice, and to register for your weekly MBA podcast, visit MBAPodcaster.com. I'm Janet Nakano, and this is MBA Podcaster. Thanks for listening. And next time, we'll be giving out advice to young MBA applicants.